CliffCentral.com.
Live and with you. That's what we're doing. Good morning, everybody. It's all happening. It's CliffCentral.com on, what is today? It's a Tuesday. It's the 54th day. See, I looked this up. 54th day of lockdown. That's what they're telling me. So we are here. We are live. It is me. It is Fumi Mashiro from her house, which she shares with young Kanejo. Her very clever son. Oh, is he not there today? Hang on. I need to kill the sound. Let me just get you there. What's that for me?
He's run off to be with his dad this week.
Oh, lucky for you. You probably could do with a break, right?
Shoo.
That shoe says it all.
Guys.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I know you love your. I know you love your son. You're a good mother and everything. But my God, it's been what, 7 weeks of close proximity, and you had to be a teacher, and you've had to be everything.
It's the cooking. It's the cooking and making food three times a day.
But hold on a second. You were just boasting to Sia before we started the show about how great your bread is.
It is the bread, the rolls,
banana bread. You bake your own bread, and you were boasting about it. Now you're going, oh, the cooking. So you must make up your mind. Which is it? Are you an artist who's producing beautiful things and enjoying it, or are you a slave who hates doing the work that you do?
There is somewhere in the middle, a very exhausted mom.
Yeah, that's true.
Two things can be true.
The thing about it, guys, is it is the relentlessness of it. You know, when you're just baking a loaf of bread just because, wow, what am I going to do with the next 4 hours, right? But if you're having to do it every 3 days, because when you've baked your own bread, it doesn't last as long as Albany bread. And then you have to make breakfast, and you have to make lunch, and you have to make dinner.
Yeah, so much food.
And then tomorrow again.
Well,
breakfast.
I've cut breakfast out completely. I don't have breakfast now at all.
Oh,
but you're a 12-year-old boy.
I know. No. I'm saying for me, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I find I hate cooking even, and I'm not good at it. Like you are. I hate it. I'll cut cooking out. I said yesterday to Sia. You know, there are a lot of people who are horrified when I say this. If I could take a pill in the morning and one at lunchtime and one in the evening, and it would satisfy my nutritional needs, I would never go into the kitchen.
So then you rather opt to
cut breakfast,
sort of starve yourself?
I just get rid of breakfast. I can't eat anything heavy, and by heavy I mean anything, you know, heavier than an omelet. By 11 o'clock, I might start eating. But before that, I can't eat. I can do coffee or tea or whatever. Yeah, but that's it. I don't like eating so much in the morning. I don't know why we – and you don't have to do it. If your body's saying to you, no, don't do it, then don't believe all that bullshit breakfast is the most important meal of the day shit. We know that was Kellogg making a marketing pitch.
Killing.
It was Kellogg's making a marketing pitch, right, Pumi? I mean, that's where it comes from.
So I have absolutely no idea, but I can believe that. But also, just eating too much. I'm sure everybody's at that stage of lockdown where they've gotten over the just walking to the fridge out of sheer boredom. Because
yeah.
It is a lot. It is a lot. It's just, it's a lot of eating has become a chore.
Yeah.
Cooking, obviously, is worse. And it's just the mundaneness of the sameness of every day.
Yeah, it's enough already. Have you broken the rules at all and seen friends?
I haven't seen friends. I haven't seen anyone, actually. Haven't seen friends. I took a computer to my mom, who needed it a couple of days ago because her laptop packed up and she had to teach remotely. So that's what I did. But I've only been to the shops for essential items.
Yeah.
And I've been in my house.
You've been a good citizen. You've been a good citizen. I have. I went to friends for lunch on Sunday. I thought, screw this. And yesterday I had a haircut.
I see that.
Okay, so how did that all work out?
Take that, Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma.
How was that? Was your trip to the hairdresser?
I didn't go to the hairdresser. The hairdresser came to me.
Aha.
So I don't understand why.
Did you take precautions? Did you ask him where he's been?
First of all, it's not my usual hairdresser. It's a she. It was an emergency. It's someone who's willing to take the risk. And she called me up and she said, hey, you need a haircut? And I was like, yes, please.
Did she call you from a burner phone with a number you don't recognize? And she muffled her voice to sound like...
You can't believe, like, she was hiding her haircutting stuff.
Clippers.
In, you know where you put the spare tire?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because she was worried.
That's the first place they look.
Because she was worried that they would pull her over and search the car, and then they'd see the stuff and arrest her. So this is the kind of hell that a hairdresser must live in 2020. It's ridiculous. So I said, no, don't worry, come in. So I let her in through the gate. And then I'd washed my hair already. I just sat down in a chair in one of the rooms where there was a floor that I could sweep easily. I said, I'll clean that up. And she started going at me. Man, did she take a mop of hair off of this head.
And is your place not strict when it comes to letting guests in? Because a friend of mine lives in an estate where they've now counted how many people live in each unit.
Oh my God. Remind me, I have to tell you a story about someone I know who's living like that in a like a prison where people rat on each other.
They aren't adding any new fingerprints, so they know if they are guests, so they aren't allowing any guests
in. I used my fingerprint, and then I hopped in her car with her, and she drove me to the house. So I met her at the gate on foot. But, you know, like, what is this? Are we living in Auschwitz?
What?
You know? At least in Auschwitz. Even in Auschwitz, they got their hair cut.
Well, let's not compare it that deeply.
What a dumb rule. And you know, it's so cruel because here's this woman, and I know she's just one out of millions of people in that industry. They're the women who do the nails, they're the people who do the cleaning of the place. She works at the salon where there are like 20 people.
Uh-huh.
And two of them are working. Two of them are risking everything to get out there and make, what, 280 Rand for a haircut? It's ridiculous, right? So I gave her more because I said to her, petrol, risk, blah, blah, blah. Can I blow my nose?
Okay, go ahead. Ooh, it's the roll.
Does happen to me. No, but that does happen to me when I go to the shops and I come back and I feel a little like my throat's a little scratchy and I'm like a little worried about what I've exposed myself to.
You see,
I just don't want to get super sick.
I think our family, you know, as much as we love each other and care for each other, we are not a good combination of personalities to be stuck in a house together. Okay, we panic too much. So
anyway, I'll finish this story, and then I want to hear what you're talking about with this clash of personalities.
Yeah.
All right, so she comes in. And she cuts my hair. She's got a pair of clippers and she's got, but it's all battery. So she doesn't need to plug in nothing. And it's quick. It's maybe 15, you know, maybe 20 minutes. And then I said to her, I'll sweep up everything and tidy up in your wake. And she's like, cool. So I gave her probably double the amount that she charged because I thought it's only fair. You know, she's taking this risk and everything. And she said she's doing maybe two a day. So that's not a lot of money. And to force people to have to put themselves in danger, to force them to have to keep their prices at that level, because obviously there are people who are charging a lot more. But then they're also, she said, the chances are, like she called me up and said, do you want a haircut? And I was like, yes, please. She said there are people that she's very nervous to call because they might report her.
Right. And even with that amount
what
of
a
money.
Way, what a way is this to live? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I said to, you know, thank you, because it's not, as we discussed yesterday on the show, it's not just rich people who need a haircut. I mean, a lot of poor people in this country spend a large proportion of their money on getting their hair done. And that's because they want to feel confident about themselves. Maybe your hair is the only thing that you get to relax with. Maybe it's the only thing you're proud of right now. And if you can get that done, you can have someone come and braid your hair, or you can have someone come and chop off the extra length. Man, some people love that. It's the time they feel free.
And even with that amount of money that she charges you, does it, you know, is it going to her, or does it have to go back into the business?
No, it goes straight to her because she's the one taking the risk.
Okay.
Right? Anyway, I thought it was a good thing to do. I had such a crazy busy day yesterday. I honestly did not stop. There was not, I didn't even have time for a lunch yesterday. It was like run through. So no breakfast, no lunch. Eventually by, I don't know, like 3 o'clock, the hunger was gnawing at me.
And no afternoon siesta?
No, I mean, we're all hustling, right? And I've heard some horror stories in the last while. But let me just quickly tell you about this woman who, when you spoke about like neighbors telling on each other, which we all hate, I think, universally, except that these people who do this are just crazy. So she lives in a complex. This is a friend of my sister's I heard the story from. She lives in a complex, and she's probably the only youngish person in the complex.
Oh gosh.
And they're all on a WhatsApp group. So the whole complex is on a WhatsApp group. And then they will actually say, "Oh, have you seen there's a strange car parked in number 23? And then everyone on the group will start commenting. And then they'll ask her, "You know, I've noticed she isn't home yet at 5:30. Are you home yet?" And then she'll reply and say, "No, I'm on my way home from work," or whatever it is that she's doing. But it's almost like you belong to, you've got 27 parents suddenly. She says it is hell. She's willing to move. She's very happy there. It's a nice place that she's got. She's got nice space. She loves it. Good rent. The place is well looked after. But she said because of all these busybodies she lives with, she just wants to get out. She would rather live, she'd rather move back in with her parents than be with these people, because these people are like worse than her parents.
At this rate, I think it's one thing when, you know, other people, your neighbors are getting involved. But I know of estates where security is abiding by this.
Yeah, and they're ratting the people out who live there.
No, there's some people where security doesn't even allow visitors. They are not allowing other cars.
Like a camp guard. Like a camp guard. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, if you live in a complex or a state, you get everybody together. Here's what I suggest you do. Call a meeting online or whatever you want to do, or stand in the parking lot far away from each other and shout. It doesn't matter. Get together and say to everybody, "Look, we collectively own this place, right? Between us. And we're renting or we're living here, but collectively we make the decisions. All those in favor of us scrapping all the bullshit laws and running ourselves autonomously, and keeping responsible social distancing and all the rest, raise your hands," and everyone will put their hands up, and then you just do your own thing.
When was the last time you went to an estate meeting?
No, I went to two, and I'll never go again.
Exactly. I can tell you don't know how it works.
Thank you, Mulelo.
And see, I don't know my neighbors.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, like, if we don't stand together in times like this, if you can't find common ground with your own neighbors during times like this, and I've probably, during lockdown, spent more time with neighbors, and I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time, but it's more than I ever did before. For example, I know the names of two or three people who live near me, which I didn't know before.
How?
Because I'm not neighborly. I don't go out and meet people.
No, how do you now know their names?
Oh, no, you walk around the place. You know, people see each other in the street. You greet each other. I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's up? Where do you live?" And she'll say, I live here. And I go, "Oh, I live there." And she goes, "Yeah." Because I never spoke to neighbors before. And now I am.
Doing.
That's it. Well, that's a
so
good.
I don't have a study.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pumi.
I don't have a study like you, Garrett. So I have a little workstation table in my bedroom, I can see my neighbor's veranda from my bedroom window.
Uh-huh.
And he goes out there every morning. He's so diligent. Every morning at 8 o'clock, he's on the. Who's that? I've got feedback from somewhere. Who's that? Mulelo, are you?
It's not on my side.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, okay, go ahead. We can hear you perfectly.
8 o'clock, he goes out there, sits in, takes out his little laptop, and sits there at his laptop from 8 to 4. I kid you not.
Oof, the whole day.
Every single day. I wish I knew what he did. He is the one person. I'm kind of like, one of these days I'm going to go on the balcony and like, hey, neighbor, what do you do? Because he sits there diligently from 8 to 4. And then on Friday afternoons at about 4:30, you see him come out with his glass of wine. He even has office culture.
Wow, he really is in a routine, huh? And he doesn't take any break. He doesn't take any break from this routine. This is what he does every day.
Yeah, I don't see him like kind of get up. And every time I look out the window, he's just sitting there on his computer. And he's got a little kid. He's got like a 2-year-old, and they keep the 2-year-old in the house. Like the 2-year-old never comes out to like disturb him or anything. And it's actually getting quite cold now. And he still comes out in his like, now he comes out in like a big jacket. Okay. That he's wearing. So he still sits out there every day, 8 o'clock to 4, working away at his laptop. It's really spectacular to watch. He's so diligent.
Don't you think there should be a middle ground, though, between, yes, you don't have to be BFFs with your neighbor, but I also think there needs to be a space where, you know, these are people who are, apart from your family and friends, are actually even physically closer to you.
Yeah.
So heaven forbid you're ever you ever need help or you need to run away from something. I mean,
there are advantages and disadvantages, right? So if you know them well, you're going to build a relationship up with them, and then that night when you have a party, they're not going to complain about the noise because they'll be like, don't worry, you know, Sia's a good guy. We know him. So you won't get the stupid...
He doesn't do this often.
Right, you won't get the stupid, snipey nonsense that some neighbors are famous for. But if you get too buddy-buddy with them, then they're going to be crashing your party. You know what I mean? So, like, you'll invite 3 or 4 friends over, and then suddenly your neighbors are at the door going, hey, we've come to join you, and they've got a bottle of something. And
maybe we don't want that.
I don't want that either. They're nice people, the ones that I have met, but... just because I live near you does not mean we're friends.
Like, I think of the relationship I have with my neighbors back in Joburg. I don't even know their names.
Are these the ones? Are these the ones that you appear on the balcony in your dressing gown with nothing on underneath in front of?
On Sundays. They don't want to know you either.
Actually, they've never complained about that. Oh, so really? We're delightful.
Oh, really?
I do not know their names. I don't know where they come from. I don't know what they do. I just know they're a couple. And we have this respectful dynamic, though, where on occasion I've asked them to collect a delivery of mine, something that was meant to be, you know, delivered during the day, and I'm at the office and they've done that. I've helped them out when, you know, with certain things, and I feel like that's a nice, healthy balance.
Oh, that's what you call...
Listen to me jinx it now.
No, that's what you call symbiosis, right? What is Santla? What's the one hand wash?
Isantla Ziyagezana.
There we go. So that's what that is. That's all that is. Mm.
But then, okay, so in all of this conversation this morning, I don't think I'm the only one feeling this way. You know, at the start of this, there were the likes of me and Leanne, and I'm sure many others who were saying, no, well, we want to abide by the rules and we want to keep things, you know, we'll just keep quiet and keep on going. But I'm getting to a tipping point of sorts where I go, well, some people downright have never followed these rules. Other people understandably are being frustrated by these. Other people want to change these rules. And I'm finding that I'm also going, well, why am I in the minority of still going on with just following what is?
Yeah, you know how I felt from...
So what do you want to do, Sia?
I think I'm over it as well.
This is a serious thing. If you are a free person and you no longer see the sense in rules that do not protect you and do not protect others, rules that are made up on the spot, rules that have nothing to do with rational sensible ideas being implemented. What you do if you are a free person in that situation is you be free. And it might mean that you don't care and you go out at 10 o'clock in the morning and go for a run, if you're brave enough to do that. It could mean that you do what I did yesterday and you get a haircut because you say, fuck you. Maybe you refuse to wear a mask, which I don't think is that sensible because you want to protect other people and maybe you shouldn't be putting them in danger. But little things that you can do, you do. And it's not worth fighting every fight. Like you don't need to get into an argument with the person at the hardware store because you're not wearing gloves and a mask. So just wear the gloves and mask because really, what is it to you? It's a bit irritating, you know?
It's more like pick your battles.
Yeah, and in parts of South Africa, there are people who've not been following any rules since lockdown started. So you don't have to feel bad if you break one or two. That's what it is. Rebel.
Here's something to set the scene of the extent of my behavior over the weekend. I had to get on a three-way call with a friend of mine who has great legal advice and my cousin and his fiance, because my cousin is driving up back to Joburg, and I thought, oh yeah, you know, we can make a little trip out of it. I can join them. But we studied on this call, it was easily, 30 odd minutes on this call of studying the regulation of what you can and can't do in a private car. We were like, oh, well, the regulation states 60% of a private car is meant to be full. Okay, technically, what is your car? Is it a 5-seater or is it technically like a 4-seater?
Oh, shit, man.
Then it's like, what is 60% of 4? What is 60% of 5? And, you know, my cousin and his fiance have a new baby.
How stupid is that? I mean, it's just ludicrous because all those regulations are total thumbsuck. You remember?
Yes.
You remember when Fikile Mbalula came out and he said, no one will go in a taxi. Then the next day, because the taxi association put pressure on him, then he's like, no, we will allow taxis to operate, but only at 70%.
Yeah.
Then he changed that the next day to something else. It's totally made up.
Now we're at a point, we still haven't figured this out, what the conclusion is. We were thinking, they have a new baby who's a couple of weeks old. Is that baby a full human being, or can they count as half? So can three people be in the car plus the baby, or is it two plus the baby? Like, it's ridiculous.
So what was the conclusion? Are y'all getting in the car and driving up to Joburg or not?
We haven't reached one. And this is why I think it's this combination of my family's personalities. There's no rebel with us. There's no one who's going to say, let's bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Let's
do it. Just get in the car. So my thought on that is just get in the car. Drive to Joburg. If you get stopped, take the fine. But you know what I'm saying? Just take the hit.
Yeah, it's not important enough. Like, and now they're busy debating, apparently, in Parliament. This is a big story. Whether or not people are going to be given a permanent criminal record for lockdown infringements. I can't imagine how anyone would justify post-lockdown that someone has a criminal record for breaking lockdown regulations. That's ludicrous.
Where's Shamina Patohi? How far is she with cases, by the way?
Shamina Patohi? And isn't it time we just fire her? Because what the fuck is she doing?
She's going for lunch with a mate.
Sorry, guys.
It's just madness. Oh, you can tell by all the sniffles that winter is here, right? When is it technically? Technically, winter's what? June, July, August. So it starts end of this month.
It's in a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's the change of season situation.
I don't like winter.
These are the things that completely freak me out about going out. So I'm not, I don't need to go anywhere. I can work from home. And I've been pretty good at being indoors and being at home. Although I did make a trip out to Arthur Bales.
What's Arthur Bales again? Is that your place you buy wool?
Yes, the wool and the sewing stuff.
See, I'm paying
attention. Of course. Priorities.
There was a queue and everything. It was horrendous, actually, trying to get there. But I have been indoors, compliant, because I actually don't want to get sick. I actually don't want to get sick. I don't want to get the flu Like, every year I spend energy trying not to get the flu. I certainly don't want to get COVID. And even though people recover from it, say I sent you a thing. Somebody was tweeting with us last week about having recovered in Germany, one of the listeners. Yeah. And it still sounds horrendous. Sounds horrendous. I don't want the experience. So I'm quite happy to stay indoors and stay away from people and be in the mask and do all of the stuff. It looks like kind of acquiescing to power, but actually, nah, I just don't want to get sick.
Okay.
So that want to not get sick outweighs everything else.
Completely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that I think is a very sensible personal decision. And you are not you're not going to put anyone else at risk either, and you should be allowed to exercise your independence.
I'm even more careful. So I'm even more careful with the stuff I do. I don't want to fall and break something and have to go to the hospital. I don't wanna cut myself, and you know what I'm saying? All of the I'm even more careful than normal, because I'm just like, I just don't want to be near any of those things. It's disgusting. It was like Leanne and her conjunctivitis story.
Oh, did you hear that?
Do you see what, this is the kind of, this is how you take your life into your own hands, by being next to people.
Yeah.
As long as you haven't dipped into paranoia, then I think you're okay. And take that as, you know, a lot coming from me.
And that's the thing, even about being out and being stopped on the side of the road, I'm just like, ew, these police people, as they stop you and talk to you, you don't know where they've been or who they've been exposed to and stuff. That's what I don't want.
Well, right.
Here is some news, just we're going to get to headlines in a second anyway, but China have pledged $2 billion to global coronavirus fight, which is, isn't that nice of them? They burn down your house and give you $500. great stuff, China. Great stuff. Yeah. All right, here's some things you need to know. Let's get to the headlines this morning. First things first, the president has said, President Cyril Ramaphosa, over 3 million South Africans applied for a new 350 rand a month grant in 3 days. He's saying that like he's proud of it. Do you?
Kanti, where do you apply for the 350?
You have to have no other income, and you have to have no other social grants. So, in other words, this is for people who are so down and out that 350 rand food grant is going to make their lives better, and they'll have to line up for it. I mean, just imagine how desperate your life is, how absolutely impoverished and horrible life is for you if this 350 rand a month, 350 rand. I know people who spend 350 rand a day on groceries, okay? Not me, because I don't eat breakfast, remember?
Right.
But Jesus.
Although that's such, isn't, you spent a little more than that on your haircut, didn't you?
A little bit. That's it. I spent more than this on my haircut. So listen to this. The governments are proud of this. They think this is a great achievement that they're giving out these slave wages to people who are so desperate. And of course, in the big scheme of things, they probably are helping, because those people don't even have that 350 rand. But government's proud of 3 million people who need that because they've run the country so badly.
And this is going to be for 6 months, right?
I think so, yeah. Now, how sick in the head do you have to be to put people in a position where they need to take your 350 rand and go, thank you, boss? How sick in the head do you have to be when your government is the reason those people are as desperate as they are? And then you're proud that 3 million of them pitch up to get the 350 rand a month.
So one day when we have the emotional bandwidth, we're going to have a conversation about the people who are not necessarily in those desperate positions, but will take the money anyway. because the money is there. And the number of people who will juke the system so that they can get three times 350 bucks.
We will, but you're saying
that. Just one day when we have the emotional bandwidth, okay?
I like that term.
Yeah, I like that too. And that's so spot on. Sure. All right, Pums, we'll put that one on hold until you're right. Until we're ready.
For the foreseeable future, I don't have that right now.
Yeah, Kunamaje, we don't. None of us have the bandwidth. People haven't had their cigarettes. We don't have gin and tonics to like calm the frayed nerves.
Well,
one day.
Do you want to hear some stupid new regulations that Ibrahim Patel and Nkosazana Zuma have cooked up? With immediate effect, you can buy anything online under level 4 except cigarettes and alcohol. Online retailers previously could and did accept money for non-essential items. They weren't allowed to deliver. Now such orders are good to go. So here are some of the products you can get online and get delivered.
Can they deliver?
They can deliver. Jewelry, watches, handbags and purses, sunglasses, t-shirts, flip-flops and sandals.
Where am I going to be using new jewelry and a handbag for when I can't go out?
I don't know. But sports equipment, perfume, furniture, portable bras, luggage, televisions, cameras and sound systems, curtains and blinds, home decor, camping gear, photo frames, toys.
Camping gear.
Where am I camping?
Video games in your back garden. Video games, consoles, bikes, scooters, skateboards, some kitchen appliances. According to the new regulations, retailers have to give prominence to products manufactured in South Africa to bolster.
please try and take it seriously.
I couldn't get to the end of it.
Jesus, this is so bad.
We have no manufacturing.
You can exactly imagine these ministers. Let's make a rule where the stuff that South African gets put at the front. Yes, that's a good idea, Ms. Nkosazana Zuma. That's a good idea. Yes, let's all clap about how brilliant we are. Fuck. These people never walked into a shop. They've had other people shop for them by the looks of things. Retailers are also
I stood in the queue with Miss Balega Mbete the other day.
Yeah, but she's out of prominence now, remember? She fell from glory.
Yeah, but she was there at the queue buying her own stuff with her security guard.
With her security guard.
No, except I didn't know. You know how when you see somebody you know from TV?
Isn't she like the oldest mom in the world? She's like in her 70s and she just had a kid or something.
No, she got married.
You have a... She got married. Okay. I don't know if she had a kid.
Was the security guard her
husband? You kind of look at her. You look at her and go, who's this person? Why do I know this person? Should I greet them? Like, is this like my mom's friend from somewhere? But I do also, one of the ways I shield myself from the embarrassment of that is I basically treat everybody that I sort of recognize as a person I recognize from TV.
Yeah.
So unless they recognize me back,
you don't make a thing.
Yeah, I don't make a thing of it.
Good tactic.
Okay.
Dude, it could be very embarrassing. You know, people on TV feel like people you know because they're in your lounge.
Oh, that's good advice, actually.
So you feel like you know them, but you actually don't. And sometimes it can be embarrassing because you're just – they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are quite.
Good question. You know, I was going to ask that about your neighbors, Gareth. As you went to them, didn't they go to you and go, Omar, is that the Arles?
No, I mean – I think they all sort of know who
know
I am,
but they
pretend they don't know. You know, that's much worse. It's like I get Pumi's way of behaving, but if you – Oh, if you do recognize, and I can tell if you recognize me because you do a double take. I know when it's happening, and then you pretend you have no idea, and I'm like, oh, please, why are we playing this game? Just be yourself. You think I'm going to walk away from that going, oh, no, that person didn't recognize me. How bad for my ego. You really think that's going to consume me? So stupid. Just be you. Just go, hey, I'm, you know, Denise.
Yo, how's it going? I don't know. I don't usually ask Oaks for photos, but I mean, if you don't mind, is that one?
No, my worst line is, "Yo, hey, my mom loves you." I'm like, "Shut up!" Shut up right now.
Donald Trump has threatened a permanent freeze on WHO funding in 30 days. This while China is using the WHO a second time to try and cleanse their reputation around this virus. He says he may just make the suspension of funding to the WHO permanent. So we'll see what happens there. some interesting things happening. He sent a letter to Tedros Ghebreyesus, who is the director general, said if the World Health Organization does not commit to major substantive improvements, because they have got it wrong every step of the way, and they've screwed up the entire time that they've been overseeing this coronavirus from Wuhan. So there we go. All right, and this is useful. Advice from lawyers. Don't pay the fine, the admission of guilt fine. Get a court date. Hundreds and hundreds of civil claims are in the offing. In many cases, prosecutors will decline to prosecute when people start appearing in the courts. So if you do get a fine, no, seriously, if someone says to you, we're going to arrest you for breaking lockdown restrictions, say, no, you can, I'm not going to pay the admission of guilt fine at the police station. Instead, give me a court date, and then we'll all have so many court dates they won't be able to process us. Burden the system. I like that.
Guys, Shamila Patoi.
Now, where is she? So let's see what happens. I think that's a good strategy. Don't pay the admission of guilt fine. First of all, you're helping to prop up this profligate regime who just spend your money left, right, and center, money you don't have anymore. You're impoverishing yourself by an extra couple of thousand rand every time. And why should you make it easy for them? You don't need a criminal record. Rather just say, yeah, give me a court date and then defend yourself. And you can actually say to the judge, I'm sorry, these regulations were unreasonable. Judge will probably go, yeah, you're right. So do that. That's advice from lawyers. How do you like them apples?
There you go, Sia. Get in the car.
You said this before I read that story. So Pumi's right. Just pay the fine or don't pay the fine, as this lawyer said.
No, you see, I still think I'll be the one that falls.
Ah, come on. They're not going to lock you in jail, Sia.
I don't have the same certainty that you have.
They're releasing people from jail at the moment. Probably you and the murderer next to you will probably be let out.
Gareth, do you understand I have never and still have no intentions to be in the back of a police van? Do you get that, like, just being stopped at a JMPD stop, I'm already like, my hands are out the window, my license is already flapping in the wind. I'm like, sure, do you want me to even step out of the car? Take my whole car while you're...
Okay, you know what, Sia, maybe risk is not for you.
No, not at all. No.
Does anyone else find these NHS clapathons that they have in Britain every bloody night? Does anyone else find them stupid and unnecessary?
I think they're the most...
Everyone, including the frontline healthcare workers.
Especially, because who gives a shit? You're doing your job. That's what you studied to be, a nurse or a doctor. I'm not going to clap for you every night like you're a child who needs constant affirmation. What are you? I mean... I'm telling you, the British people are so in love with this stupid NHS because they're all obese and ugly and need help all the time and are on medicine 24/7. And they go out and they clap for these doctors and nurses who, frankly, have not had as rough a time as everybody was led to believe they would. A lot of their hospitals are being shut down too, that Nightingale Hospital, which they built. Complete useless waste of space. NH-fucking-S. Stop clapping for it, you dumb... Poms, what is wrong with you?
Oh my God!
Really, it's so dumb. It is.
Didn't
just
they start
so
a similar
dumb.
Thing here? Didn't they start a similar thing here where they were like trying to get people to do like a 7 p.m. pause and reflect kind of thing? Didn't we have something like that?
Clearly, didn't pick up nor work.
It happens in Cape Town Seapoint every day. I can confirm that.
Ugh. Oh no!
Oh yes.
Yeah, but that's also where white people stop Cyril and go, "Can we have a picture, Cyril?"
Yeah, that's where
Cyril
all...
Fridays didn't even pick up here.
Yeah, they're all just spitting in his mouths on the promenade.
What is Cyril Fridays?
Who knows?
Huh? Hashtag Cyril Fridays, where you thank the president for all that he's been doing over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sia, where did you get that?
It's a thing.
Oh my gosh, there were articles going around about it. Oh.
Remember, he was exercising on the promenade.
I didn't know about it until he told me. So yeah.
No.
See, I got a press release from Kusela, don't you?
The closest mass mobilization thing that I've actually remotely liked is seeing this trend. I've only seen it from people posting from Los Angeles. every evening people get out of their houses, some people get out of their houses, and they just scream for a couple of minutes. And I thought, yep, if you had to summarize humanity in 2020, they just walk out and they scream and they howl just to let out their frustration. I was thinking, ridiculous. Yeah, that's sort of actually a good idea.
That is a terrible idea.
So it's not just us. Apparently in California, the mayor of L.A. is just also, and the governor, Gavin Newsom's the governor, and Garcetti is the mayor of Los Angeles. Apparently these two are also making stupid regulations and stupid rules up, left, right, and center, about all the stuff that they're trying to control. Just dumb.
They shut down till like September, aren't they? Like California's made a
California, call. I think July.
Is it July?
Yeah. And then there are states like Texas and Florida, which you mentioned yesterday, Mbulelo, who have not even gone into lockdown at any stage. And
they are wide open.
And the deaths in Florida are absolutely commensurate. In fact, they're lower than the deaths in places like New York, but that's because of population density. But they're lower than other states that are in lockdown. So why are we still in this? Can someone give me one simple explanation as to why we're doing this? I thought the point was to flatten the curve, and we did that. We were ready. That's what Cyril said the other night. So why are we still in this lockdown? Dumb, dumb, dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. That's all I can say.
I'm twiddling my thumbs here. I don't know.
And Florida has... That's like where all the olds live.
Right, the most vulnerable people. I mean, the whole of Florida is an old age home.
The olds. It is. They're very old then.
Yeah.
So, and Arizona. Arizona in the desert, out in the desert.
They also didn't follow that stuff.
Yeah, they're out. They're out and just living.
If, like me, you want to compare nations and see how certain nations have done a better job than others, well, JJ Cornish, who we had on the Burning Platform about 3 weeks ago, he has an interesting study he's done. He's looked at whether women leaders or male leaders in the world have done a better job. And you may or may really not like the answer that comes out of this. You may love the answer that comes out of this. But it turns out that he has some evidence that Angela Merkel, Jacinda Ardern, Sanna Marin, who's from Finland, Erna Solberg, who's the Prime Minister of Norway, Katrin Jakobsdottir from Iceland, and Taiwan's Tsai Ing-wen, that six women have done a much better job than any of the men in the world. How do you like that?
Don't hate. I wasn't hating. I was just thinking.
Humming like that.
I had a moment to ponder.
I think it's a very interesting thing to look at. And we have a big enough sample size here. It's not like there's only one woman leader in the world. And if they've done a better job, we need to look at why. Because there are aspects to women's personalities and the way that women think about things that make them better at doing certain things than men. I'm not ashamed or unhappy to admit that. And similarly, there are things that men do better than women. And if women are better at leading a country through a crisis, then God damn it, we should think about having women.
There are threads within our very recent history in some literature I've read to say every time we've had to do something brutal for society, we've brought a woman in. Thatcher, Merkel. And then Theresa May had to come in to clean up the whole mess. So I'm not saying...
Theresa May. That's not a great example.
She had to come in.
Gareth, don't talk about Mbulelo's FHM poster upon his wall.
We know what your type is. You like these putzfrau.
Are you kidding me? Two-piece brown suit? Can't dance?
Yeah. Angela Merkel. Anyway.
Don't get me started.
All right. Now, Sia has an interesting point to make, but we'll speak to JJ Cornish about this later on. Mbulelo, just keep your sexism on the down low for a moment, if you don't mind.
No, I was being serious. This is it.
Sia, why don't you tell us about this jogger that you've bumped into a few times?
Oh, guys.
Here's a story, everybody. Listen to this.
This is the only piece of faith that I can cling on to these days. Maybe it might be the restricted social interaction that I'm getting. But I think I might be falling in love.
This is called quarantine brain. Okay, but go ahead. Explain.
There's this yummy deliciousness of a man that has crossed my path now probably like 4 times over the stretch of the past few weeks.
Is he crossing your path or are you deliberately crossing his?
Now I'm making sure. I know the general vicinity where he should live and the general time that he's also out.
Is he doing it during the official lockdown running time?
Yes. And now understand that when we finish the show, you know, and we're done with show business, probably about like 20 past eight. Uh-huh. So sometimes I have about, 30 odd minutes just to go out and, take a brisk run around here.
Sia pops on his sneakers.
A run around.
Yeah, Sia runs around like an athlete. Ooh. To see this group.
Oh, yes.
I see you more swaggering about.
All right, so tell us about this guy.
Let me explain the desperation as well. There's a bit of a hill from my house going up to where his general place is, and I have to use Usain Bolt dash up this hill to make sure that we meet at this T-junction. And at first, obviously he just looks okay. No, you can't see a lot based on, he often runs with a hoodie and then he has his mask on. But it was probably like the second time that I saw him, and don't judge me for this, he has 2 kids. But the way he was pushing that pram... the way he was so considerate and patient with his, 6-year-old, I thought, what a caring man.
Wow, Sia, it sounds like you...
This is so sad.
You've made up a whole story in your head about this guy.
Then the third time, we actually, exchanged words. We greeted a bit, and then he remarked, isn't this so crazy? And I thought, what crazy times. And I thought, let's just at least be grateful for what we have right now. And, once you get into some gratitude and Oprahisms, you've caught me hook, line, sinker.
Wow. You could be his holiday friend.
So what I'm saying, in conclusion, you're all invited next week to my virtual wedding.
So you're ready to risk it all and become a step parent.
I will.
To a 6-year-old.
There is a term for this, though, isn't it? I mean, it's the same thing that happens on Survivor, because you're stuck on this island with all these people who you promised me you didn't find attractive at the start of the show. And then halfway through the show, you want to get into each other's pants.
Yeah. So true.
So that happens on reality TV shows, which are a fake environment. But in this situation, you've been stuck in the house with your family. And even though, this guy probably wouldn't get a second look from you if it wasn't lockdown. You probably wouldn't even pay attention to him. But because he's the only remotely attractive looking man, and he's engaged with you once or twice during this horrible period of your life where you haven't had any other stimulus, you've built this fantasy in your head. It's amazing. And you're not the only one, I'm telling you.
No, he worked on a cruise ship, or if you've worked at a resort, seasonal resorts, trust me, that's a very real thing.
Oh, I actually have visuals for him. I was thinking of how best to describe him. Think Steven Pienaar with broader shoulders and thicker arms.
Is that your thing?
Okay.
Huh?
That's how he looks.
I have to
looked.
Go Google Steven Pienaar.
The footballer. Isn't,
yes.
Oh, that guy.
Mm-hmm. And he's rich. Yeah. He must be rich. Steven Pienaar's rich.
Listen, I don't know anything else about
this. See, I can't tell that.
Steven Pienaar 2.0.
What does the prem he's pushing look like?
How many kids?
I should find the brand name of the pram. That'll also give me an in to how much he spent. Bit by bit, I'll find something.
Well,
oh dear.
I have not had any romance during this time. I have not had any, flirtations, nothing. So I think I can probably say the same is true. Pums, you haven't either, and Bulelo, you haven't either, right? So at least Sia's had a little bit of a flutter.
Oh, goodness.
What about the lady who cut your hair?
No.
Nothing there, Gareth?
No.
Oh, wow. No, hate to hear it.
No,
you hate to hear it.
It's funny. You know, some people, I know there are relationships, couples who wanted, they had all the intention in the world of spending lockdown together.
Terrible idea.
And then within a day or two, they were like, hell no. And they made a plan to get out of there, yeah.
Yeah, I laughed a little when it was announced a few days ago. Remember just very randomly, we spoke about some couples and people who are stuck in resorts. And at first I thought, oh, it's not a cut life at all, you know. And then the Kristen Cavallari, who's a reality TV star who I referenced because she and her husband were stuck together in the Bahamas.
Oh yeah.
In that story, in that initial story.
Yes.
Well, now they've announced that they're divorcing.
Shit. You kidding?
Sorry, it's not funny. I'm not laughing at their pain, but I think, whoops, even with the backdrop of the Bahamas or the Caribbean, wherever they were, that could
well,
be
there is a,
yeah.
There is a Vice story, guys, of people who went to some kind of like psychedelic retreat just before lockdown on a Caribbean island as well, and now they can't leave because lockdown happened while they were in this in this kind of hippie getaway type thing, and now they're stuck there, they can't fly out and go home because borders are closed.
Oh.
And guess what, they have also run out of all their hallucinogenics, so now they're sober, they're on this island. And they are pissed off.
And they're sleeping on thin, wispy mattresses.
Yeah, Vice has a whole thing about it. They're calling it like the longest festival, the longest festival in the world, or the last festival in the world. Cause shame, there are all these hippies out there on the. And it looks quite terrible, actually.
Mbulelo, what about that friend of yours who was stuck with their current girlfriend and an ex?
Yeah, no, that's... So she eventually went back home. So the woman was stuck with her ex-boyfriend and the new girlfriend at the house, but she's made her way home now. Oh, so,
can you imagine?
But I want to tell you about that Cavallari story.
Yeah.
It's so good. So she's like a reality star who's, you know, okay, whatever, you're a reality star. But she's accused him... After he had a sporting career where he made $100 million, his name's Jay Cutler. She said she left him because he's lazy. But now here's the beauty, is she wants a settlement for $10 million so she can do nothing.
Who's lazy?
Jay Cutler's the lazy one.
No, so I'm saying she's lazy. She's the one who's
yes.
She comes from reality TV, you know.
And now she wants a settlement
yeah.
so she can do nothing to leave the lazy guy. It's hilarious.
Hey, money, folks.
Take it.
Why do you,
you
think she wants to do nothing?
Listen,
she needs that money so she can get a full-time photographer for her.
She's
social
got a jewelry
media
company.
Stuff.
Guys, I'm telling you, like a lot of us are going to. I might even have to get married for money after this.
Good call. I've always said.
I'm serious. If anyone knows, I preferably would like a very old woman who's likely to croak soon, and I want her to be super mega rich. So go on that Forbes list and help me out.
I told you, I have a 93-year-old friend, and she keeps telling me, first marriage for money, second marriage for love.
Mm.
I'm not one to judge, but Mbulelo, what do you have in common with a 93-year-old?
No, she's a mentor. She's a spiritual mentor, and she's known my family forever.
Okay.
She's a spiritual what?
Mentor.
Everyone needs a spiritual mentor, and I don't do Jesus, so...
Mm. Okay. I need that marriage money. I'm telling you, I'm hearing horror stories out there of people who just are losing jobs, who are having to cut staff, who are having to, and people who are being swindled, huh? People they're being robbed because there are opportunists out there who are taking advantage.
Mm.
You have to be super careful right now. It's just it's a minefield. All right. When we come back, among other things, we'll speak to JJ Cornish. We'll also find out what else Pumi has on her agenda. And we'll get to you on your messages on 0797482090. Let us know what's happening. CliffCentral.com, keeping you company this morning.
CliffCentral.com.